Let's give a big fat hand of a praise for John.
Yeah, I love him.
You know, I love every, and I don't want to sound like a male chauvinist pig or whatever they call, but I love all the men who can actually stand for who they are, that aren't ashamed to say, I love God, and I love it so much that I'm willing to lay all my life down and deal with these circumstances and confess that God is in my heart, and to confess that God is in my life. You know, there's a lot of, I want to call, hypocrites out there. They confess with their mouth, but their actions are just downright wrong. How many people know them? They just, like, I call them hypocrites. I call them hypocrites, and I hate hypocrites. I want to welcome everyone that is here today. Keep your hearts open. Keep your ears open. You're going to hear something, and God's going to minister to you. You're not here by accident. It's not by accident. I always share that this place is not religion. It's how to have a relationship. If you want religion, you found the wrong place. But if you want relationship with God, our Creator, the God of the universe, I call him the universal God, the one who loves everyone around the world, where he doesn't desire any division amongst us, where he just wants pure love, pure worship, then you found the right place. There's a law, and it's written on your heart. I don't know that law, only you know. There's a conviction that's inside of you, and God is speaking to you. He brings peace and it brings happiness inside of you. What makes you happy may not make me happy. And what makes me happy may not make you happy. But we have something in common. It's called a relationship with God. And that's why it's so important for us in the world to understand the importance of having a relationship with God. Because then you can feel confident and comfortable with how you feel. You're going through something. You have feelings, amen? Who has feelings in this place? They could be bad feelings, they could be good feelings. Sometimes when we have feelings, we tend to put guilt or shame on ourselves. We put condemnation on ourselves. I'll tell you right now, there is no condemnation. There is no guilt in my God. My God takes away all that guilt because you understand that your feelings are his feelings. If you think something smells and no one else is smelling it, then hold on to it because it stinks. And God is trying to say something to you. He's trying to say, yo, nobody else smells it but you. And you're one with me, and it's stinky. So you better run. You better run. The whole world isn't going to agree with you. When you have a relationship with God, I'm going to tell you right now, you might seem like a loner out there. Because all of a sudden, you're feeling a certain way, and everybody's looking at you like they got three heads. What? How come you feel like that? You shouldn't feel like that. You shouldn't feel like that. Why do you feel like that? Oh, why do you feel like that? You shouldn't feel like that. And then it puts doubt in you. All of a sudden you start feeling like, am I weird? Am I weird that I feel this way? I want to embrace you. I don't want to make you feel weird. I want to embrace, if you feel good, I want to feel your goodness. If you're feeling sad, I'm going to say you have every right to feel sad. I'm not going to say, why do you feel sad? Sun's out. You should be happy. You should be happy. How many of us heard that before? Why are you sad? You should be happy. You tell me why I should be happy. You tell me. I don't know. I'm feeling like rotten inside. Sometimes we just need to be honest with ourselves. And I want to give you permission today. If you feel rotten, if you feel upset, you have every right to feel that way. And God is knocking at your door. He's talking to you. He talks through our inner feelings, our inner man. How many people understand this? Okay, he doesn't talk to the whole world. It's intimate. He talks to you. If the whole world is happy and you're not, you got to realize that God is talking to you. He's not talking to the whole world. I want us to really understand the importance of a relationship with God. God knocks on your door and only your door. And I embrace my feelings because that's his feelings. When I'm sad, I say, Lord, why are you sad? When I'm happy, I'll say, wow, Lord, why are we happy? Why are we happy today? I feel good today. So you must feel good today. You look good today. Did anybody tell you you look good today? Well, I'm going to be the first. Now you feel good? You happy? You're feeling happy. You're starting to feel happy. Doesn't she look good? I'm going to tell you right now, she looks good. Everybody she hangs out with looks good. We need to feel good about ourselves. And we need to start feeling good about where we're at in life. Because God really cares about you. He really cares about where you're at and what's going on in your life. And that's why the world needs to hear about my God, not religion. I'm not going to tell you goods and do's and don'ts and rights and law and wrongs. I can care less about that. I can care less in what you're doing. I want to hear how you're feeling. I want to relate to how you're feeling. I want to relate with your inner man. So when you're rejoicing, I'm rejoicing. When you're mourning, I'm mourning. I want to have fellowship. I don't care about right and wrong, good and bad. Don't come and confess your sins to me. And don't say sorry. God wants us to change the way we're thinking. He wants us to stop thinking the way we're thinking. And understand, if our feelings, if we're troubled, we have to tap into that trouble and find out why we're troubled. I'm here. I'm here to help. Those around the world that are listening, log on to our website, send me an email, or come and meet with me personally, and we'll get down to the root, and we'll talk about it. And we'll find out if you are supposed to be sad. You know, sometimes we need permission to be sad. You know, sometimes we walk around and we're sad and people are looking at you like, you know, you shouldn't be, and not giving you permission to be sad. And as soon as we give them permission that the way you're feeling, you're right, and it's okay to feel that way, all of a sudden you start feeling better. Has anyone ever felt that way before? Yeah. Now, one of the things that I'm talking about, it's a series about fear. And there's two types of fear. There's one type of fear that we're all familiar with. That's like scared straight, I call it. That's like being like, and you're just like totally afraid of the dark. You know, you're just like anything that happens, you're afraid. You're afraid. You're just scared. You're afraid. Has anyone ever felt that fear before? You're just afraid. You're afraid. You hear some news, you feel an impression, whatever it is, and all of a sudden you start getting afraid. If I told you we're going to lose your job tomorrow, and all of a sudden you get afraid, or your ex is going to, or your girlfriend or whatever is walking out the door on you, you know, the girl that you just met, she's on her way out, you know, she's cheating on you or what have you, or, you know, all the bad news and everything. We get afraid, right? And then there's another fear, a fear that I call to our Creator, but it's a fear of glory. It's almost like you don't want to upset anyone. You know, you have a fear that you made offended somebody. Has anyone ever felt afraid that they offended somebody? That's a fear, but that's a fear of honor and a fear of glory, and you don't want to offend anyone. I want to talk about a fear now. I spoke many messages so far in this subject, but I want to break it down a little bit, and I want to talk about worry, because worry is a form of fear. And God loves us so much. The problem is we don't really know that. We heard it. Oh, God loves you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, God loves you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. How many of us heard that God loves you like thousands of times? And it really doesn't do anything. Well, you're right. It doesn't do anything. The only way we know that God really cares is when he like answers a desire of our heart. He gives us a breakthrough. Like, I don't have a job and I'm looking for a job and I really could use a job. And you haven't had a job for over a year and you're like looking for a job. And then all of a sudden God does a miracle and he gives you a good job. Well, now he's real. Oh, praise God, I got a job. Hey, it's awesome, I got a job. Or you've been searching and seeking for someone special in your life, and then finally answered, you know, your prayer, and, you know, oh, wow, he's real. But when we're going through storms, it's kind of hard to actually believe that God loves you. It's weak to say, oh, well, God loves you. You're going through a storm, brother. Oh, God loves you. Everything's going to be okay. And I was sharing earlier that a relationship is so important. And when you have a relationship with God, you can rejoice going through storms. Now, worry is never going to stop. Fear is never going to stop. But when you have a relationship, worry and fear stops. Your heart, you begin to learn how to control it. Do you know that when you're mad, you control yourself pretty well? Because if you really wanted to, you can go punch holes in the walls. Has anyone ever been that place where you've gotten so mad, you just want to like strangle somebody, or you just want to punch a hole in the wall, but you control yourself? You don't literally go off and lose it. I've lost it a couple of times. I'm not going to lie. I haven't lost it in a long time, but there was times where I leaped on you. I didn't care how big you were. I don't care how ugly looking you were. I don't care how rough it was. It was like I was like this cornered, scared raccoon, and it was like, whee! And I jumped right on you, and I looked for the first step I can to jump on you and hope that I got the best shot in and threw you off your feet. That was my game plan. If I can hit you first and hit you hard and scare you, maybe I can win, you see? But I've learned to control myself. How many of us learned to control yourself where you actually disciplined yourself and now you're no longer punching holes in the wall? You're even gotten so good to where now you don't yell, you talk calm. I hate them kind. They're the ones that control themselves. What are you upset for? Everything's okay. You don't have to raise your voice now. You know, what are you yelling for? Better stop. Man, I'm like, what? You got to be kidding me. What are you? I'm not there yet. But I believe that this is what God wants for us. He wants us to begin to learn how to control ourselves. You know, God's love is there. That's without a shadow of a doubt. And then we just have to accept it. Let's just say today, I accept the love of God. So this way we don't have to keep repeating it. God loves you. God loves you. No, let's just automatically accept it. Today, let's just make a confirmation in our heart. I'm going to accept the fact that God loves me, period. And I'm not going to have to be concerned about that anymore. I'm not going to question. Even when am I allowed to say shit? Even when poo-poo hits the fan. I'm going to still say God loves me. I'm going to still say it. You know, whatever it is, God loves me. I got to kind of like get it through my thick head. I got a thick head, and I got to keep saying, God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. And I just got to keep patting, you know, this forehead here and just, God loves. I think I got one of them push buttons on my forehead. It's invisible. I don't really see it, but it helps. Bing, 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 bing. I got to keep tapping my head. God loves me. God loves me. And even when we're going through things, we have to realize that God loves us. I think this is the biggest stronghold in our heart. Not sure, not confident enough to know that God loves us and that He leads us and guides us and directs us. And when you can really grab hold of this, I mean literally grab hold of this truth, it does something supernatural in your life. It really makes your head go weird. It really does. It throws, I believe, when you begin to tell yourself this, something supernatural, like a power from the universe, starts interacting with your inner being. You know, creation is like molecules and all that stuff. And then when you have enough molecules, it starts forming and creating into existence. Anybody know science? It's real, right? I say the spirit is more real than science. Science is just trying to catch up to the spirit, you know? And then they come and think that they discovered something when in the reality of it, it's been there before science. But, you know, there's little molecules that are out there. And as soon as you begin to start changing the way you're thinking in the realm of God loves you, it creates something inside. And it allows you to be stable. It's almost like controlling yourself. You must have said somewhere along the line that acting up so bad to the point where you're punching holes in the walls looks immature or something. You said something to yourself, right, to get you to stop punching holes in the wall. How many people understand what I'm saying? You said something to yourself and you began to believe it. And that what gave you the ability to control yourself from punching holes in the wall. And then you must have said something to yourself that, and I haven't said this to myself yet because I'm still a screamer. I'm a screamer. Ah! What do you mean? I raise my voice a lot because I feel that they're going to hear me better. Girls, girls, like they're really going to hear me like they didn't hear me the first time. You know, hey, girls, and they're ignoring me. Girls, I'm going to get a little louder. Girls, you know, why, oh. But that's not true. You heard me the first time, haven't you? Yeah, I know, yeah. You just were busy. I need to understand that. They're busy. I have to wait for them. But somewhere along the line, we've told ourselves how to control ourselves, haven't we? Well, we need to tell ourselves that God loves us and that He's directing our footsteps. We have come across circumstances in our lives. Now, I'm going to tell you that your footsteps are directed by God. You can either believe me or not. I don't care. I believe it. And your footsteps are directed by God. They're directed by God. And everything that God has for you is better than what you had. And I don't care if you don't believe it or not. I do. You see what I'm saying? I believe that God loves me so much, everything that I lose, everything that is taken away from me, everything that changes is better. Something better is coming. It may not happen right away, but something better is coming. And I believe the more you put that inside of you, it manifests. It comes to pass. I believe that every time we are negative about our life and pessimistic about our life, we create bad things. How many people are following me on this one? One of the things that has put on my heart today to speak about is worry. And I believe that we worry a lot. We are here, those that are listening around the world, you're only hearing it because you have a worried problem. And those that are here today have a worried problem. And God wants to deliver us from this worried problem. We're worrying about things. And God is saying, why are you worrying? You're creating imaginations and you're worrying about things because you created imagination. And these imaginations aren't my will. They're your will. You're creating imaginations and they are not my will. And your imaginations that you're creating are only going to bring death and destruction. And if you keep believing it, so it is. But if you know my truth, that I love you, and you believe the things that I have to say to you, your life is going to be better. Stop looking at yourself. Stop looking at your circumstances. Stop with the negative. Because I didn't create you to destroy you. I created you to prosper you. I created you to give you a good life. Well, what happened to my first relationship? How come it didn't go well? I was teaching you stuff. I was showing you stuff so that you don't keep falling into the same trap. See, God teaches us through life. We need to learn through life. We don't keep repeating the same thing over and over and over. When circumstances happen in our lives, we need to learn from them. And then God brings through our life those things that He wants us to have. Now, you can't say, let's take something that went sour in your life. We all had things that went sour, amen? I mean, it wasn't all, you know, apple pie and vanilla ice cream on everything, right? There's a lot of things that went sour in our lives. But before it went sour, and let's be honest, was it sour in the beginning? No. It was good in the beginning. It was good. How did it go sour? You know how it went sour? Because you grew. You grew. It was time to move on. You grew. You grew. It was time to make a change. I don't personally believe that everything is certain. You have to be willing to change. You have to be willing to live a life of change. I believe that we all are evolving. We're all growing like clothes. You can't wear the same clothes that you wore back in high school because you're going to outgrow them. And then let's say you reached a point in your life where you had a clothes and they just, because things happened in your life, they no longer fit. And so you have to now buy smaller clothes or larger clothes. How many have been there before? Well, that's the same thing as life. Life changes. I know I would love to have my children hang out with me for the rest of my life, but they got a life too. and they're going to change, and they're going to move on, and they're going to have things that they like and I might not like, and I have to accept these things. Some of the things in our lives we have to learn to accept. And one of the things that the Lord began to speak to me about is worry, because all of a sudden he began to share with me why worry actually exists. And it's because we're not ready for change. We begin to worry. Oh, I lost my job. And then worry comes in. What am I going to do? I'm going to do all the important things that I'm supposed to do. I'll go out and knock on doors. I'll meet people. I'll put applications out. And then what? Wait. Okay, and then what happens? We worry. We worry while we're waiting. We worry all the time. We're worry warts because of change. And then the imaginations come in. You're old. You can't get a job now. Nobody wants you. They're all hiring young people. I mean, you heard that lie before in their head when they're out trying to find a job or knocking on doors or something. God has a perfect place for you. We just have to let it flow. Go with the flow. I had one person that I was speaking to in one of the Oriental countries. I don't know if it was China or Japan, I forget. But I was talking to this person. She was a female, and she was asking, you know, my doctrinal beliefs, so to say. And I said, I'm a lover of God. And she was like, oh, what's that? And I was like, well, I trust God and I love God and I know that God created me not to destroy me, but to give me a life. And I'm here to just live this life that he has given me. You know, his ways are far above my ways and all these other good, happy truths that I know. And she's like, oh, you remind me of a Gnostic, an agnostic person where life's inside of you. And I said, yes, life's inside of me. And she's like, I'm Gnostic too, but people say that that's wishy-washy. And I was like, why? Why is it wishy-washy? Because you're not living their life? Because they're worried and you're not? Or maybe they're not worried and you are? People I find that they all want you to be the way they are. And if you're not the way they are, you're wishy-washy. God has a life for you. And he has a special life for you. And your life is separate than my life. Now, when you're worried, I want to, you know, kind of say, yes, you have every right to be worried. And let's be worried together. Tell me what it is. And, you know, let's work these things out together. But at the same time, only you know your life. Only you know. I don't know what you're going through. Think about it. Only you really know what you're going through. Only you know the pain. Just like you don't know what my pain is. You don't know what my suffering is. But God knows your pain and my pain. See, that's what's so unique about having oneness with God. He knows. In this book here, I want to read some scripture here. And if we can really understand this truth, and some of us might have heard this all the time. It's in Matthew chapter 6. Verse 25, it says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Now, isn't that wishy-washy? Isn't that wishy-washy? This book's telling you, don't worry about your life. Be a Fruit Loop. Be free spirit. Don't worry about what to wear. Don't worry about what to eat. I guess that person was kind of right. Does sound pretty wishy-washy, isn't it? And it is wishy-washy. if you didn't have a relationship with God. If you didn't have a relationship with God, because, listen, it says, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into the barns, yet your heavenly Father, see how it refers back now? But God feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? This is what I want to build on right here. Aren't you more valuable? I look around and I see, and I have a lot of relationships around the world, and it's getting bigger and greater. And I say to myself, are you valuable? How much value do you see in yourself? I see a lot of value. And if I start telling you all the beautiful things I see and all, you're going to go like this. Nah. Nah. If I tell you, look, you just lost your job, right? How many people might have been out of employment right now? How many is out of employment? And if I begin to tell you that God has a job waiting for you, would you believe me? I hope you would believe me, because it's true. He's got a job for you. The question is, what are you doing with your off time right now? You see? What are you doing? Sitting there worrying? Or are you doing something about it? The only thing I ask you to do is just start thanking him. Start thanking him. Because you're not enjoying the vacation he gave you. You're not enjoying the time off that he's giving you. Think about it. There's a better future. We need to believe this. What a man or a woman think in their heart, so they are. I'm going to tell you, there's power inside of you. You just haven't tapped into it. What we think is what we are. And we need to stop thinking negative. Look, you might look in the mirror and say something because you see something. And you can't deny it because the facts are the facts. Ugh, my hair is all messed up. Well, if you don't like the way your hair looks, comb it. Don't sit there and worry about how your hair's all messed up. If you see something and you don't like it, do something about it. And then after you do something about it and you can't comb it that well, you simply say, well, I did the best I can. Thank God for giving me some hair. Listen, we got to start turning around the things that we look at. We got to start looking at the power that we have inside. If not, we become a hot mess. Just like I referred to earlier, I can lose my anger. Man, I can throw the F-bombs out there. I can kick holes in the walls, and I can jump on you like a raving raccoon. I can do that. But is that going to help anything? Is that going to help anything at all? No. And what did I end up learning to do? Discipline myself. And in the midst of disciplining myself, what did I end up doing? I spoke to myself. I tapped my forehead a couple of times. I began to start telling myself things that I wanted to bring into existence that don't exist. I wanted my true feelings to come out. I want my true feelings to come out. I don't want worry to rob my feelings. I want to be honest with myself. I want a boyfriend or I want a girlfriend. Then we don't want to say, I'll never have a boyfriend or I'll never have a girlfriend. You see? I want one. If you want one, begin to start asking for it. In your heart, say, I want this. I want it. I know what I want. You know, the Lord changed my life. You know what I want? I want this word to go out throughout the whole world. I want a large convention center with heavy investors saying, you know what? I got the money, but I don't got the voice. I want to put you up in a big, I don't know, hotel or whatever with the pool. I want the resort. I want the pool. I want the kids sliding area where they go into the water park because I want the kids to have fun when they're coming, when the parents come for ministry. You see? I want to be set up on the very top where the elevator, you know, stops it, and then you have to walk the rest of the floors or so. You can't come up to my place. I want to be at the very top so when I look out, I see the ocean. And I want people from all around the world to fly out and enjoy themselves. At the same time, get ministry. Watch the power of God change their life. That's what I want. I'm not going to sit there and moan and groan, oh, it'll never happen. Oh, who's going to ever do that? Uh-uh. I'm going to believe how I feel. I'm going to accept how I feel. I didn't feel like this, I don't know, 14 years ago, before God changed my life. I didn't feel like this. I feel like this now. And because I feel like this now, I know it's Him. And I want to tell you, everything that you feel is Him. If you're worried, then we need to do something about it. Because God's sparking you up. The question is, do we allow our heart to be troubled? See, I want us to know that worry is not a bad thing. Sometimes they're like flags that go up, warning signs, you know, directional signs. I don't want you to ignore your worry. I don't want you to ignore your fears. I don't want you to ignore these things. I don't want your heart to be troubled. I want you to begin to accept your feelings. I want you to embrace your feelings, but not let your heart get troubled. Example, I'm mad. I can lose myself. I can fight, punch holes in the wall, scream and throw F-bombs and lose myself. How many people can relate? All right, good. I was frustrated. I learned to discipline myself. Something inside me got me to believe that I look like an idiot. So I stopped being an idiot. I didn't want to look like an idiot anymore. When I was a kid, it was cool to look like that. But now I'm a 50-year-old man. I look like an idiot. An idiot punching holes in the walls, kicking and screaming and yelling and throwing F-bombs. You're an idiot! Something told me that and I began to believe. I'm an idiot. I can't be acting like that anymore. It didn't affect my fact that my heart was troubled. So what was the next thing that I ended up doing? I agreed with it. My heart's troubled. Okay, now I got to do something about it. I'm not going to sit there and keep my mouth shut and just let my heart be troubled or lie to myself. You shouldn't feel that way. No, if you're upset, the most important thing is to express yourself. It's like a pressure cooker. You know, you hold it in so long, it's going to explode. You're going to explode if you keep it in. You're going to explode and go nuts. Some of the most successful serial killers and multi-bombers out there are the ones that don't say nothing. You know? I would have never thought. Him? Commit suicide? Him? Her? A cutter? I would have never thought. Oh my God. They overdosed. I never thought that they would have overdosed. I never thought that that one would have blown his head off. I would have never imagined in my wildest dreams. How many people understand what I'm talking about? I know cutters. I met one the other day. And I was taken back. I started to cry. I never realized a beautiful 13-year-old girl cutting herself and has everything. Why? What is hurting you so much that you got to go to that extreme? Where is the pain at? Something's talking to them. Something's talking to you. Something's saying lies that are causing you to feel and think a certain way. We need to know truth so that the truth can set us free. We need to pull these lies out of our head that is hurting us. We're predicting the future of death. Why? If I said to you, you're beautiful, you look great, you have everything that someone would want, why is our reactions no? What is possessing us so much that instantly told us no? How many people are understanding what I'm saying? That needs to come out. That stronghold that is destroying our life needs to come out. And I know how to be delivered. We need to lose ourselves. We need to come to a place of believing that God has a better path for us. I want us to have every head bowed for a moment. I've been in that place where it was easy to cut yourself. I was in that place to stick a needle in your arm or snort some lines or drink myself to where I throw up. There hasn't been anything I haven't seen. I've had friends hang themselves, and I had thoughts of hanging myself. I've had close relatives that you would have never thought commit suicide and had everything. Father, I ask that you begin to destroy the works that are causing us to think and feel the oppress. Deliver us. He says, if my people would humble themselves and call upon his name, I will be faithful and just to deliver them. Humility is part of the key of saying, I'm no longer strong enough, but Lord, I know that you're a creator and a savior. And you can save me. Deliver me from this evil one. Deliver me. If we're fighting with battles, these strongholds in our lives that we feel as though that we can't shake, like you can't stop yourself from doing it. I want to open up the front. And I want to ask those that have a tendency to war against strongholds, thoughts that are causing themselves to have worry, where they can't control their worry, they're sick, they have anxiety, they're coming to a point in their life that their heart is troubled. They don't know how to handle